Hey guys. Hope everyone can see us out there.
She's almost here.
Hello everyone. Thank you for joining us for our final episode of Open Source of Microsoft, the Periscope series. Today we have Brian and Martin talking about Java. So thank you for joining us. And we'll start off with how'd you guys first get started here? And what do you guys do here at Microsoft?
I'm on
the engineering side, and the past 5 years I've been running the Azure tools for Java, various tools. We've worked on Eclipse, IntelliJ, Jenkins, other Java related things. So that's basically been my job for the past 5 or so.
And I've been with Microsoft for 3 years now as a program manager, first on the open source in general offerings, and now specifically dedicated towards Java and the Java community. And before that, I worked at many Java-related companies in different positions, going all the way back to 1999, where I wrote a book, actually, with some other people about XML and Java, a few other things.
Great. So how did you first get started with Java? Actually, let's go into more why Microsoft. So Microsoft has a number of Java offerings. So why and how did Microsoft build their open source offering specifically Java, since that's the topic du jour?
Basically, you know, Microsoft is switching more from a product company to a services company. So the idea here is that, you know, any product, any open source language you want to use, any technology you want to use that you already use, you're comfortable with, familiar with, we want to work with you and make it work on our cloud, which is Azure, and we're not tied to any one specific language or licensing model or any product specifically for the success of our company anymore. So that's, you know, one of the big opportunities, of course, is Java. It's the other half of the enterprise world, .NET and Visual Studio are already big, obviously, for us. But the Java world is out there, and we've been in touch with them, but we haven't necessarily been working closely with them to build tools and services. So now we are. We've been doing that. Martin's been here for a long time building tools and services, and I'm here to promote them as well. So,
anyway. Yeah, my story at Microsoft, I started quite a long time ago, I think on this specific in this specific area, we I joined basically a team about 5 years ago under the leadership of Jean-Paul Lee, who, as many of you know, was a co-inventor of XML. So we were sort of a small handful of I guess open source renegades, if you will, at Microsoft, trying to engage with various communities and start building bridges. And one of the initial projects that we've done in the Java space specifically, and we covered various spaces, not just Java, but for Java specifically, one of the first things that we did was basically the Eclipse toolkit or Azure toolkit for Eclipse, which was my first project in that group that was eventually. That eventually morphed into the Microsoft Open Technology subsidiary, and recently we're sort of all back at Microsoft in open source development, and Java development has become basically practically mainstream at Microsoft by now. That's the big evolution that we've gone through. So I guess we should consider ourselves some of the pioneers of that in that area at Microsoft, which is a great sort of a title or claim to fame that we can make. We're still at it.
Even 3 years ago when I joined, you know, there were still groups at Microsoft who would ask, why are we working on Java projects and why are we working on Node.js or Ruby or any of these other languages, you know, and the answer is Azure. And, you know, eventually since then, the company's all got on board. In fact, and sometimes, once in a while, we'll discover a corner of the company, because it's a big company still, you know, we'll discover a corner of the company that's been using Java for some specific use, forever, and we just didn't know about it. So we reach out to them, and they have a lot of skills. They've been talking to customers, and we're also connecting inside Microsoft, and reaching out to customers and finding out what they're using our Java tools for as well. One of the challenges we have actually, and that's something I want to reach out to the Periscope viewers for, is we don't really know what people are running on Azure. That's by design, because it works okay for the Microsoft stack, because we have customers who buy licenses from us, so we know when they buy a license what they're using, and we can generally infer from that what they're using on Azure. But when it comes to the Java world, they don't have to call us at all or reach out to us at all. They can just start running their things on Azure. And actually, more than 25% of our images, I'm sure in other parts of the series they've told you, is running on Linux. So we have several different endorsed versions of Linux we run. More than 25% of our VMs run Linux. On those, there's a good percentage who are Java. But we have no clue if they are or not, or what they're running. And like we said, that's by design. So if anyone has any questions or anything, please do reach out to us. And not just in this series, but also afterward. We would like to talk to you about what you're doing with Java, any frustrations you have, and any way we can do things better. So, but we do have a number of offerings as well we want to talk about today.
And also, just something I want to emphasize. One of our big roles here at Microsoft has been sort of not just evangelizing Microsoft's technologies to open source communities, but also the other way around, evangelizing open source and the way of thinking and a bunch of technologies in open source within Microsoft, and helping various Microsoft teams who want to be engaged and want to be more integrated into this open source effort, sort of helping them along the way, and helping them not just on a technical level, but also sort of on the engagement level, how this whole process works, how the mentality, how people kind of what the culture is like, and things like that. So we've been sort of the bridge between the old corporate world of Microsoft and this the open source ecosystem. In many ways, not just Java.
Yeah. You mentioned, corners of Microsoft that you discovered were using Java. Can you say what some of those corners were and how you worked with them or continue to work with them?
Yeah,
I can start with a couple. So 5, 4, 6 years ago, I could probably count on the fingers of maybe two hands, maybe one hand, the people who were involved heavily in Java at Microsoft. I pretty much got to know them by name. Because at that time, 6 years ago, there was a really small group, a small subset of those people, and we kind of found out about each other, pretty much, accidentally. One day I found out, oh, there's a group within SQL Server that's working on a JDBC driver. They actually had a JDBC driver for a while, so it's like, okay, well, let's shake hands and figure out how can we build a story around it that kind of encompasses other parts of our other things in the Azure offerings. That was one example, and then there's another example. There's a group within the big data organization, HD Insights, that's been working heavily on Hadoop-based offerings for Azure. So it's called HD Insights that serves on Azure. So that's another sort of they started out as sort of this island within Microsoft that was kind of very focused on Java. Within the Visual Studio ecosystem as well, already a number of years ago, there was a team which basically came to be as a result of an acquisition of another company that focuses on creating Eclipse tools for Visual Studio Team services. And you still have their plugin available. It's growing in usage, so that helps you integrate with Visual Studio Team services as your ALM application lifecycle management system. So they have great Eclipse story, and again, another group that we've kind of work with, and we've been building this network internally of people who have had the expertise with Java, and now everybody we know in every team in Azure has some sort of involvement with Java development and with open source. So it's certainly grown quite a lot since those first early days a few years ago.
Yeah, no, I think Martin covered it. One of the things you should mention about Eclipse. EclipseCon is next week, and we'll have a presence there, and we're actually going to have some pretty cool announcements. So if anyone's going to EclipseCon or is going to be watching the press around EclipseCon, please do tune in. We'll have some interesting announcements next week. But we also have a Eclipse toolkit that the viewers might not be aware of that allows you to publish things from Eclipse to Azure. in different ways.
Java applications specifically, yeah, as well as integrate with Java services. There's tons and tons of Azure services that are exposed through Java APIs or REST APIs or both. Our Eclipse toolkit helps, as well as IntelliJ. We have an equivalent IntelliJ IDEA toolkit as well. So we have tools like that that help you integrate with Azure services or deploy your workloads to Azure, Java workloads. Also, we have we've been working on Jenkins plugins and Hudson plugins for automating various processes on Azure. Definitely we're kind of, and it's still, you know, we're working on a bunch of other new things, and we'll be making more announcements pretty soon at EclipseCon, I guess.
Yep. We also have a Java SDK. We're in the process of updating as well. And that allows you, we have all these services on Azure, like blob services, media services, queues, tables, SQL, of course. How you actually access those from a Java application is through an SDK that talks to the Azure APIs. We published that. And by the way, all the things we're talking about today are open source. They run on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and they're available on GitHub. In this particular case, the SDK allows you to access those things. There's a bunch of samples and documentation that you get when you download it, and you can actually talk to our Azure services to build the next sort of generation of your Java applications on the cloud. And we are improving those right now. So if there's anyone out there who's working with the SDKs and has any suggestions or anything, please do let us know. So in case you didn't notice, we're very feedback-oriented at Microsoft. So one of the things I like about it, just having been here only 3 years, is, you know, the group is actually very technical. You know, senior people here have experience with coding and things like that. And we're also very feedback oriented. So we're really looking for reaching out to customers and getting information from them about what they need. And we actually will build it into the next version of the product. If we can get some good suggestions, we're always open to this. So
and contributions are all code contributions are also welcome. All of our projects are open source, and we do have a number of contributors from the outside.
Yeah, plenty of pull requests.
Various projects.
So just a reminder to people tuning in, we're taking questions, and as they said, they're always open to feedback. So questions, feedback, whatever you might have during this live stream. There are people from UK and Italy who are joining, so they say
Greece.
Hi. So let's talk about the slide behind you, actually. Maybe we can go into some things that you guys want to show the viewers in terms of Java and Azure.
Yeah.
We could talk about the partnerships, I guess, and the different investments across the
Yeah.
You want to talk about it? Yeah, you.
So basically, this is a general slide of some of the things that we've integrated with Azure. You know, if you're working with Chef, Puppet, any of the DevOps tools, if you're working with Linux, you're working with Hadoop, of course, Docker, Jenkins, and Hudson, as we mentioned before. We basically invested in partnerships with these offerings and these vendors to build capabilities into Azure, make it work pretty easily. So, for example, Martin mentioned the Jenkins plugins. You know, we have two. We have a storage plugin, which basically allows you to, if you're working with Jenkins, you're actually able to deploy your artifacts directly to Azure Storage with a simple plugin. You just put some connection information into Jenkins itself, and allows you the capability to just publish things out to Azure Storage. And from there, you can distribute it however you want. And then the other thing is we have a slave plugin. So the Jenkins slave model is, you know, you have a master machine. You have several slave processes. Those processes could be on virtual machines on Azure. So you don't actually need to invest in hardware for those. And
it's a great cloud bursting scenario for build automation. So we've seen a number of customers who use that plugin for running automation tests as part of their build. Instead of doing them serially, well, if we can just provision 20 or 30 machines on Azure to run a whole bunch of configuration tests, then that's a great way to go.
Yeah. And did I have that here? I can't remember. Let me just fire that up. Jenkins. Azure GitHub. There we go. So there's the Azure Storage plugin. As I mentioned, they're all in GitHub. The slave plugin is there as well. I also want to mention the Java Dev Center. So, by the way, we're going to have an update to this next week. And the update is based on, once again, feedback. So we've had some feedback on some of the things people do with the Dev Center that aren't necessarily right here at the top. So we're reorganizing this to be a little more user-friendly based on feedback. But the Java Dev Center itself, if you just do a search on Java Azure, you're going to come up to the Dev Center. There's all kinds of documentation here about the SDK that we have. There's Java docs and information about the plugin for Eclipse.
You can now also mention the Azure Samples repository for Java. And that's a
yes.
Great place to basically, if you're looking for code samples, just trying to get started with Java, there's this beautiful repository that some Azure teams built, and you can go based on the language and based on the product. So if you go just up to the filter, and just platform, you can change the platform.
Oh, I did a search on Java. Actually, there's some that aren't in the platform anyway. If you just do a search on Java, if you search Azure Samples, you're going to find this sample gallery. And if you do search on Java, there's 22 samples here right now. There's some pretty complicated ones. HD Insight, Java Storm, building an event hub from Apache Storm using HD Insight. HD Insight is our version of Hadoop that we built in partnership with Hortonworks. So that's kind of a cool one. Also using Hive with Java and HD Insight. Here's a Azure app service called Food Trucks. So one of the things we should mention, so there's a few ways you can put things on Azure as a Java developer. There's virtual machines, which is basically you have complete control over the environment. It's your server. You put your version of OS, Linux or Windows, and you maintain that OS and everything related to it, security, everything. It's all up to you. Then we have cloud services, which is a little more sandboxed. It's Windows-based. We manage the operating system for you, and you manage pretty much everything else. And then we have our web app service, which is software as a service. It's really pure. You know, we manage everything for you, including the JDK and the app server in the case of Java, and you just drop your Java code in there. So this is a Java app for the Azure App Service, and you can actually just deploy this from here. You can look at it. It's on GitHub, and this is just one of many samples we have that you can use on Azure. So once again, just search Azure Samples, and you'll find this, and then you can search Java.
And in a few days, we'll be shipping an update to Eclipse Toolkit, Azure Toolkit for Eclipse, which will have Java Web App integration for Azure. So you'll be able, within seconds, you'll be able to deploy a Java application to Azure and have it running literally within seconds. So that's something we're going to be announcing pretty soon. I guess we just announced it, but it's no secret. This is a great offering.
It's coming out. Watch this space next week. We'll have full documentation and details on that.
Great.
So I guess before we close out, in a couple sentences, what do you guys enjoy most about working on Java at Microsoft?
Being able to work with a lot of really surprisingly good professionals in the Java space, the open source space. It's not something that Microsoft's well known for, but there's a great group of people here that we're working with building open source solutions. Yeah.
And for me, in addition to that, it's also just the fact that I get to work on something that, especially in the early days, that nobody else is working on. It's a lot of open space where you feel like you're on the bleeding edge of something that you feel eventually all of Microsoft will kind of catch up with, but it's great to be a pioneer. That's what I love doing.
Yeah, making new things versus maintaining. I'm sure most coders will relate to that.
The trailblazing nature of working on Java at Microsoft, I think, is the important bit of the deal for me at least.
And then any last comments or?
You can find me on Twitter as bbenz, and please reach out to us. bbenz@microsoft.com is my email for any feedback or anything like that.
I'm easy to find, so definitely if you have any feedback, if you want to try our products, whatever projects we're working on, please go ahead and let me know.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And this was our final episode. But if you want to hear more, want to see more, You can email us at opensource@microsoft.com or tweet us at open@microsoft. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye.
Thanks.
Take care.